Our scripture reading this morning will be James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So if you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show with his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Oh Lord God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for giving us your word and for instructing us. Lord, we ask that as we open your word now that you would teach us. Lord, we pray that our hearts would be full of thankfulness to you for who you are and all that you do for us. We pray that you would teach us. We pray that you would continue to work in us your word, that we would be doers of your word. I pray that you would protect everyone here from my sin and my error, that your truth might shine forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, James is continuing to show us more marks of a true believer. And really, as he does this, as he shows us what a true believer looks like, and he shows us the difference between a true believer and, you might say, a professor of faith. But as he does this, he's using this teaching tool quite effectively, and that what he often does is he will show us, if you will, side by side, this is a believer, and then he will show us this is not a believer, and how helpful that is, that we can see side by side, that we might easily recognize the differences. And he's done this so often throughout this letter, as we've already seen. Not to review the whole book, but to back up a little bit, you can see here as he has showed us side by side that there are people, there are doers of the word, right? And then there are those that are just hearers who delude themselves. And we see the believer is the one who obeys God's word. Then in chapter 2, we see that there are people who are compassionate, showing compassion. And then there's others who neglect the poor and show favoritism to the rich. And he shows us the believer is the one that loves his neighbor, that shows compassion to those in need. Again, some profess to have faith, but they have no works. And we see this side by side with him who bears much fruit, that by their works they testify of the faith that they have in the Lord. And again, the believer demonstrates his faith by his good works. Then in chapter 3, we saw Some people really use their tongue however they please. They bless when they want to bless and they curse when they want to curse. And yet we see that the believer, by God's grace, uses their mouth for blessings and not curses, having a supernatural self-control over the tongue. And then we come to today. Here in our text today, we see that some people claim to be wise, and yet they're arrogant and bitter. And we see this side by side with others who show that they are wise by their gentleness and their humility. The believer has wisdom from above, and it shows. It comes out in their life. We can see it in ourselves. We can see it in others. So over and over, we see the difference between true believers and just professors of Christ. One thing that I've tried to point out all along the way here is the consistency that we see here in Christ changing us. It isn't that Christ saves us and he changes just a few things about us, but he changes us all the way through. All the way through. What a blessing. How consistent and thorough Christ changes us. Certainly it starts in our heart, but it comes out everywhere. It comes out everywhere. Our obedience, our compassion, our tongue, our wisdom, our entire lives are changed by Christ. And so today we get another mark of a true believer, that they have wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. Now again, I want to remind you that here James is not giving us this list of things that we should try to avoid, even though we should try to avoid them. And neither is he giving us another list of things that we should try to work on, although we should work on them. But rather, the purpose here is he's giving us these descriptions that we might examine our lives, that we might recognize that those who are in Christ have been changed. There's a difference. It is not that, you know, in a sense, really, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Anyone can say they have faith. Anyone can say they are wise. But James is here saying, never mind what you claim. Never mind what you say. Let's look at your life. Let's look at your fruit. We'll just let your deeds speak for themselves. Now, certainly this wouldn't be a fair test or an accurate test if not for the undeniable fact that Christ changes us. He changes us. You know, if this faith in Christ was something that you could just hide in your heart, it's just a matter of believing, and it will change nothing in your life. You will continue to look the same. You will continue to live the same. Well, then this doesn't make any sense. This wouldn't be accurate. But that's not the case. Christ changes us. If Christ is in your life, it will change. Your life will show it. And if Christ is not in you, that will be evident as well. So as we look at this next mark of a true believer, our response to all of these things should be to praise and glorify God. I mean, after all, this wisdom is from above. It's not something that in any way we have worked really hard to obtain, that we have earned. Not at all. This is His doing. This is His working in us. The wisdom that believers have is not our own. It's the wisdom from above. 1 Corinthians 1, 29 through 31, that no man should boast before God, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. God is to be glorified. God is to be praised. We're here to say, can you believe it? We have the wisdom from above. God has given this to us as believers. This is an incredible blessing. So this morning, the title is Wisdom from Above. And I really don't know how this happened, but I can't remember the last time I had an outline. But I have an outline this morning. Number one, the question and terms of answering the question. We see in verse 13. Then number two, false wisdom or earthly wisdom. We see in verses 14 through 16. And then number three, true wisdom, wisdom from above, in verses 17 and 18. So number one, we have the question and we have the terms of answering the question. We see this in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So here James is asking the question. He begins here. The question is, who among you is wise and understanding? Who among you is wise? Are you wise? Now, wisdom in general, as a generic term, everyone would recognize as a good thing. Everyone wants to be wise. Most people would claim to be wise. But James, of course, is not asking about just any form of generic wisdom. He's asking, who among you has true wisdom? Who has wisdom from above? That's what he's asking. Another way I might ask the question is, who among you has a right relationship with God and understands the weight of eternal matters? Now, it's almost as if James asked this question, who among you is wise? And then before anyone has a chance to answer, he says, wait a second. There are terms to answering this question. You can't just say that you're wise. You have to have proof. You have to show it. You have to show it. If you're truly wise and understanding, your life will have evidence. It's going to show. So you can't just answer the question however you want to. You know, this isn't a question you can answer just intellectually. You know, I'm sure some would like to answer this question with a list of all their credentials and their academic accomplishments. I mean, I have a degree in this. I have a master's in this. I have a doctorate in this. I'm wise. See? No. Others maybe would like to tell of different professional positions that they have had. You know, I have managed this. I have been a consultant for that. I'm a CEO of this. That doesn't work either. None of that meets the terms here of answering the question. You have to show it. You have to show it. You know, Paul and other writers in the Bible will say at times, follow my example. follow my example. Imitate me or imitate Christ. And they're not just saying, preach what I preach, teach what I teach, say what I say, but live how I live. Show it. Do it. Live it out. Says, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. So here I think we're given three terms which we can show that we have wisdom from above. Number one, good behavior. Number two, good deeds. And number three, good attitude. First of all, number one, good behavior. Show that you have wisdom by good behavior. This is pretty general, isn't it? I mean, behave yourself, right? Be good in all that you do. I mean, good behavior is general, but good behavior is Christ-like. Number two, good deeds. Show that you have wisdom by the specific good deeds that you do. You know, in other words, don't just be good, but do good. Don't just not be bad, but do good. For example, don't just not show favoritism, but show compassion. Do. Help those in need. Don't just not steal, but work and give to those who need it. So if you're wise, it's going to show in your good behavior. More specifically, it's going to show in your good deeds. And thirdly, in your good attitude. Let him show by his good behavior in his deeds, in the gentleness of wisdom. In the gentleness of wisdom. This is attitude. This speaks to the manner in which we do things, how we treat others as we interact with them. You know, many times I think those who would profess to be wise are incredibly arrogant, thinking so highly of themselves that they really don't have a good attitude toward other people. But here we see that a good attitude is really a big part of demonstrating your wisdom. Are you humble? Are you humble? In dealing with others, do you deal gently, kindly with them? Do you show grace? You know, your attitude really speaks volumes in answering the question, if you are wise. And so here, the question is, who among you is wise and understanding? And the terms of answering the question is that your life shows it. Your life shows it. You show you have wisdom by your good behavior, your good deeds, and your good attitude. Then number two, we see false wisdom, earthly wisdom, in 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So here we see James starts with the heart. Before you answer the question as to whether you're wise, examine your heart. And if your heart has bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, you know right away what the answer is. And then we have a warning not to be arrogant and to lie against the truth. Well, certainly all lies are against the truth, but I think specifically here he's referring to the question, are you wise? He's saying if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, then don't even think about saying, yes, I'm wise. It's not true. It's a lie. You don't have it. You don't have wisdom. Then he goes on in verse 15 to explain that the wisdom that you do have is not true wisdom. It's not the wisdom from above. It's actually earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, demonic wisdom. This false wisdom is described in verse 14. Really, I mean, what a miserable, discontent, selfish sinner it describes. Bitter jealousy. This is really to be envious, to be really resentful of the blessings and the benefits that others enjoy. And this jealousy, of course, is the bad kind of jealousy, where you're comparing yourself to other people. You're upset that someone else has something that you don't have, or is getting more than you, or they're getting ahead of you in some way. And this is false wisdom. It also says selfish ambition. The idea here is that you're so selfish, you're so self-centered and self-exalting that you're willing to cheat. You're willing to deceive others to try to get what you want, to benefit yourself. And you're proud of yourself for doing it. This is not wisdom from above. This wisdom is so wrong. You know, I've been around people that display this wisdom quite well, accurately. They live by this false wisdom. They admire, they aspire to be able to cheat others and not get caught. Their mindset here in this wisdom is so twisted. It's so wrong. It's as if they think that, it's as if nothing is wrong, nothing they do is wrong unless they get caught. If you cheat and get away with it, you're smart, you're wise, you're impressive. Now, if you get caught, then you're not wise, you're foolish. But this is the way they think. This is false wisdom. It's so twisted and messed up. But again, they're proud of it. I mean, they would love to boast about what they got away with. They really think of themselves as being wise and clever. They're really smart for pulling this off. Then verse 15 explains where this, more about this false wisdom. This false wisdom does not come from God. It's sinful. Cannot come from God. Well, where does it come from? What's it about? Earthly, natural, demonic. This wisdom is not in communion with God. It is not focused on God, heaven, spiritual, or eternal things. Rather, it's focused on temporary pleasures and indulgences of this earth. This wisdom is not what regenerate people do. It's what natural fallen man does. This wisdom is really carnal reasoning. Now, if the word earthly or natural hasn't convinced you yet that this is bad wisdom, this last word should remove all doubt. Demonic. Demonic wisdom. It makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? This wisdom is demonic. It is just in line with what demons would want you to do. It's dishonest. It's evil. And really, this is nothing new here. James told us in chapter 2, he spoke of demonic faith, right? It's not true saving faith. So here now, he tells us demonic wisdom is not true wisdom. Then verse 16 shows us where this false wisdom leads. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. Disorder. You know, God is a God of order and structure. And with that comes unity and harmony. But false wisdom is the opposite. It causes chaos and confusion. False wisdom does not unite people. It turns everyone against each other. It leads to disorder and riots. Everyone looking out for their own personal interests and really willing to harm each other to get what they want. And left unchecked, this arrogant, selfish wisdom will lead to any and every evil thing. We can see the trajectory is clear. It's not good. This earthly wisdom really just leads to more and more sin. So this is false wisdom, earthly wisdom. It's obvious here, just the heart is set on indulgence, on what on its own cravings, what it wants, what it can accomplish, what it can do, what it can obtain here on earth. All about the things of the earth. All about living for today and enjoying and indulging and obtaining whatever it can. And it isn't a pretty picture, is it? But honestly, it's exactly where we would all be if not for Christ. So number three, true wisdom. Wisdom from above. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is true wisdom. It doesn't come from us. It comes from above, from God. This is God's wisdom. You cannot have this wisdom apart from having God. You must have a right relationship with God. That's really where it all starts. In Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, if we will not fear the Lord, if we won't humble ourselves before Him and repent of our sins and give Him the honor that He deserves, we don't have true wisdom. It all starts with a right relationship with the Lord. Now, after hearing how terribly perverse, destructive this false wisdom is, now consider the contrast. From that to now, true wisdom from above. Pure, first pure. God's wisdom is not sinful. It's sinless. It does not contaminate the truth with lies. It does not mix good with evil. It is pure and holy. There's nothing wrong with God's wisdom. It isn't that it's mostly good, but there's just a few flaws here and there. No. It is pure, perfectly pure, all the way through. Peaceable. It's not looking for a fight. Even when a fight comes looking for you. This wisdom is not angry, agitating, quarrelsome. Rather, it has a soothing, a calming effect. Peaceful and self-controlled. This wisdom really pursues peace with all men. Then we see gentle. God's wisdom is gentle, self-controlled, not quick-tempered. It's not easily aggravated, but it's calm. It's bearing with others patiently. Then we see reasonable. God's wisdom is not obstinate or stubborn, but it's willing to listen. It's really teachable. Being open to being taught and corrected. God's wisdom does not insist on everything being your own way. Full of mercy. God's wisdom is compassionate. Cares for other people. Cares for other people, even those who would oppose the wisdom of God. God's wisdom gives us compassion in our hearts for sinners. Gives us a love for them, a desire for them, that we could help them see the light. And good fruits. Again, God's wisdom is not just these feelings of compassion. These feelings that don't lead anywhere, but we bear good fruit. We do good works, we bear good fruit. It's not just feelings, but it's action, it's doing, fighting for, protecting the weak. Helping those who need help. It's unwavering and without hypocrisy. God's wisdom is consistent. It's steady and sincere. So then in verse 18, we see what the outcome of God's wisdom is. You know, unlike this false wisdom that just stirs up all this envy and greed and discontentment, God's wisdom is not that way. It's sowing and spreading righteousness in our relationships. And it's done in a peaceful, loving manner. I mean, we're not arguing for the sake of winning an argument. We're not trying to shove righteousness down somebody's throat. But it's peacefully spreading the truth, peacefully sharing with others the love of Christ. It's peaceful. And so, unlike the earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, the wisdom from above really humbles our heart. And it blesses our relationships. Gives us a high view of God, that we might stand in awe of Him, that we might be so grateful to Him for who He is and what He's done. It also gives us a humble and selfless approach to each other as we consider each other more important than ourselves. So in conclusion, James here, he's shown us side by side the difference between those with earthly wisdom and those who have wisdom from above, God's wisdom. And what a difference. I mean, what a difference this makes in our lives in so many ways, but especially you just think of the effects of our wisdom on our relationships. All our relationships. I mean, this affects everything. How we approach God, how we interact with each other, with others, with believers, but with unbelievers as well. You know, if you have the wisdom of God in you, not only are you blessed, but you're blessing those around you as you interact with them and have relationships. You're showing grace. You're being peaceful. You're being loving. You're also being helpful in speaking the truth in those circumstances. And so they are blessed as well, those that we interact with. So this is another mark of a true believer. The true believer has wisdom from above. Has wisdom from above. And it shows in our lives. I want to read a few verses from Philippians 3. This reminds me of Philippians 3, starting in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all these things to Himself. There's a huge difference in these two wisdoms we've seen today. And it shows in our lives. It shows with good behavior, good deeds, and good attitude. But maybe you're like me, and as you saw this terrible description here of this false wisdom, this focus on indulgence and envy and strife, maybe you're like me and it made you think of certain people. We must never forget. That description is us, apart from Christ. That's exactly where we would be, apart from Christ. It's all because of Christ. It's only because of Christ that we have wisdom from above. that no man should boast before God, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It's what he has done in us. It's not of ourselves. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Lord, we recognize from your word more and more we recognize how much you are changing us. Lord, you make all the difference. Lord, this wisdom that you have given us is not from earth, it's not of our own, it's from you. Lord, we thank you for changing our lives. Lord, we recognize that we still struggle with sin. But Lord, we recognize that you are at work in us. You are conforming us more and more to your Son. Lord, we don't deserve it, but Lord, we thank you for it. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us as we interact with each other and as we interact with unbelievers, Lord, that you would work in us more and more, that we would be like Christ, that we would be gentle and humble. Lord, that your wisdom would shine forth. Lord, we thank you for these reminders. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us. We pray that we would honor you, that we would glorify you with our lives. Lord, we ask that you would bless our relationships. Lord, I thank you that we can have a right relationship with you. I thank you, Lord, for humbling us, for showing us our need of you, that we might be in awe of you. I thank you, Lord, for blessing our relationships with each other. I pray that you would strengthen those relationships, Lord, even among us in this local body, that you would strengthen our unity, build us up together. Lord, I pray for our relationships with the world, with the unbelievers. Lord, that you would help us there as well, that you would give us the right words to speak, that you would give us a heart for the lost, that you would give us a heart for the hurting. Lord, that we would be compassionate, that we would love them with your love. We thank you, Lord. It is truly a miracle that your wisdom can be on display, can be shown through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.